What's up, friends and listeners of the Matt Biamonte podcast? I'm back. It's been over a year, but I'm glad to return to the podcast. And look, I have some good excuses. I had my first kid last year. That threw me for a loop. And then I've been really busy with my radio show here in Utah, Cougar Sports Saturday. We talk all things BYU, myself and my co-host Mitch Harper. We do so on KSL News Radio. We have our own podcast feed for that, Cougar Sports Saturday. So if you're looking for your BYU fix, that's probably where you want to go. But I'm going to revive this. I'll do this from time to time. I'm not ready to commit to a schedule, but I'll talk some NBA for sure. And maybe just some relevant sports stories and entertainment as I kind of revive the pod. So for those of you who are still subscribed, thank you for waiting patiently for over a year. So I appreciate it, but things are going well in my life. No complaints, but I want to bring this back just to have an outlet, especially to talk some NBA. As you guys know, big Lakers fan, live in Utah. And that's what I'm going to do today. Me and my Laker friend, Kyle Bruderer, you know him well. We're going to talk Lakers. We're going to talk about a crazy 2021 offseason in which they trade for Russell Westbrook and a bunch of other moves. Per usual, I'm a little more pessimistic on this Lakers team. Kyle's more optimistic, and we argue all these different points about what's going to happen in 2021. So I'm bringing back the Matt Biamonte podcast with some Laker talk. And, you know, as always, guys, reach out to me on Twitter, Biamonte Matt, if you have any comments, questions about the pod, or you want me to talk about any particular thing. So glad to be back doing the podcast. Without further ado, let's get out to that conversation with Kyle Bruderer about the 2021 Lakers.
What's going on?
You know, just chilling. This is long overdue, so I'm excited to get it going.
Long overdue. So I figure we should just stay away from what the heck happened in 2020. That was a mess.
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking Lakers here. Wild offseason. A lot of guys leave. A lot of guys come in. Let's just start with this, because I think we're going to argue heavily on this point.
I think so, too.
What letter grade would you give Rob Pelinka and the Lakers for their 2021 offseason, Kyle? I'm already hating your answer, and you haven't even given me one.
The off season, I'm gonna give it a B.
A B? You are out of your mind. I give it an F, a solid F.
There's no.
Yes.
You're gonna have your mind changed. Just give it due time, and I think you're singing a very different tune.
I don't know about that. So here's the reason I give it an F. Because I can't stand Russell Westbrook, the player. You know, why did I qualify it like that? I can't stand Russell Westbrook, period. I don't like his personality. I don't like the player. And he said something at Media Day recently that has me sold that it was a mistake. I don't know if you saw this quote.
Maybe. Tell our listeners what it was and give me a refresh.
So he was asked how he can help Anthony Davis. Did you hear this? Did you read this?
It sounds familiar. I listened to one of his interviews, and I'm trying to remember if this is what I heard or not. So keep going.
Anyways, he said his role in Anthony Davis is to push him to be the best he can. And I'm like, no, this isn't going to work. Because Russell Westbrook, that's not his role to push anybody.
No, it's not.
Anthony Davis is a freaking NBA champion and a multi-time all-star. Like, if Russell Westbrook thinks he needs to come in to a team that he doesn't even know, because Anthony Davis is his third year. Yeah. So Anthony Davis is firmly a key component to Laker DNA. And if he thinks he's going to come in here and push this guy around because he needs to get better, then it's not going to work. And so I give it an F because Russell Westbrook was the wrong player to bring in. And so Because and we'll get to this, Kyle. There's a lot of secondary pieces that I really like, but because you bring in Russell Westbrook, who he's saying all the right things in terms of we're going to sacrifice. Like there was another commentary from Russell Westbrook where he talked about their first practice with LeBron. He's like, "Yeah, this is going to work," and it's like Russell Westbrook can't sacrifice. He can't contain himself. And at some point this year, I think it's going to blow up because of Russell Westbrook.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I lean towards I disagree that it's going to blow up because of Russell Westbrook. And I
why do you say
I
that?
I want to kind of touch base on the quote that you had said earlier, because the quote that I heard him say was, "My job is to lift up Anthony Davis and LeBron James." I didn't hear him say that he's going to push him. And I wonder if, because you know better than most, I know a little bit, but there's a
that
lot.
That was,
let me finish.
I just want to tell you where I saw it.
Okay.
It was on ESPN from Dave McManaman. It was an article that Dave McManaman wrote saying, quoting Russell Westbrook. So if what you said is correct, then I think there might be a chance that it can work. I just don't know if that's what he said.
Yeah. So that's what I read, and I wish I had that right in front of me, but my question is, in what way was that answer provided? Did whoever was asking him kind of lead him into answering it that way? Or did he go out of his
I'm not sure. That's a fair question. I just remember reading it and I'm like, if you feel like you have to get the most out of Anthony Davis, then you're already taking the wrong approach.
Yeah. I think the proof is going to be in the pudding. Like there's with this right here, you very well could be right. And he could potentially be, you know, the Lakers' downfall, but I'm as a Laker fan and wanting them to succeed. Like I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he has not, this is going to be the best shot that he will ever. Okay. He had a good chance of winning a championship with Kevin Durant that year. They blew it against the Warriors. But as far as after that, this is going to be the best opportunity that he will, maybe the last opportunity he'll ever have to win a championship. And he is not going, I don't think he's going to take that for granted. I feel like same thing with Carmelo Anthony. I feel like those two guys are more, maybe they won't, but they're more inclined to sacrifice and do what's necessary for the team at this point in time because of the circumstances. And so that leads me cautiously optimistic about it. But yeah, I want to know what the context was in the answer that he gave in regards to that, because yes, I totally agree with you. If he feels like it's his job to come in and, you know, somehow teach Anthony Davis and make him better, it's like, bro, Anthony Davis is, you know, a pretty much MVP caliber player just like you, but he's won a championship and he's been there with Lakers for years, and so he doesn't need you to come in and teach him about, you know, Lakerness, Lakerdom, or whatever you want to call it. So yes, I agree with that.
Fair enough. So yeah, it's, I just don't trust him. I just, there's been too many instances where he doesn't get along with James Harden. He doesn't get along with his coaches. It's just, I don't trust him. And this is a scenario which you frequently find in sports, but it's like, you know, a lot of time you want to give people the benefit of the doubt. He's going to have to earn that.
Yeah.
And that's, sure. and that's happened before in sports. I think, in fact, one case in which this actually panned out well for the Lakers was Ron Artest.
Yes.
Because I remember when we got Ron Artest, it was like, what are we doing? Why are we letting Trevor Ariza go? And then he won us over. So
yeah.
There's certainly a scenario in which it works. I'm already off to a wrong start. So that's why I give the offseason an F. And part of that is because I feel like there was an opportunity to make a trade for Buddy Hield that I just think makes a lot more sense. Like,
yeah.
And one of the problems that I think Rob Pelinka is having right now is he is married to some ideas that aren't necessarily true anymore. Like, he wants to have a team with three stars. Like, he just, for whatever reason, the Miami Heat thing is just stuck in his head where it's, we got to have three stars. And I just don't know if that is truly needed anymore to win a championship. Like, I think that you can win a championship with two stars and a good supporting cast. And I just would have loved to have seen Buddy Hield come in, who's a great three-point shooter, one of the league's best three-point shooters. And then you're able to keep – I think we would have been able to keep KCP. Yeah. So that's why I give it. Why do you give it a B, though? I'm curious why you give it a B, because that's a pretty good grade.
It is. And the reason I give it a B is because I – and this kind of in a way coincides with what you were saying, where it's like I do agree that, you know, you don't need to be married to the three, you know, superstar or the three-star I guess system or whatever on a team. But it's almost like rather than having, you know, two superstars and then another player that's, you know, pretty good, it's like having, you know, Kobe and Powell and then Lamar Odom or something like that. But I feel like what he, and this is my assumption, I feel like what he's doing is he's putting, you know, you've got LeBron James and you have Anthony Davis, and then you bring in a Westbrook who is at the tail. I mean, all these guys are kind of at the, besides Anthony Davis, a lot of these guys are at the tail end of their careers. Yep. And because they're at the tail end of the careers, that kind of puts them in that Lamar Odom-ish category because of their basketball IQ and their ability to still, you know, play at a pretty high level. Maybe not at like the number of minutes that you would normally get, but that's kind of the way that I envision it, is rather than having two superstars and then a, you know, Lamar Odom caliber, the sixth man of the year caliber player being your, you know, your third fiddle or whatever, but you have multiple players that have been basically MVP caliber players that have lost a step and won a title really bad. And so I feel like their IQ, think about it, the IQ of Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony are infinitely better than Lamar Odom.
Yes, but you are... Are you referring to Westbrook as Lamar Odom in this situation?
I am referring more to, I would say, Carmelo Anthony, and Westbrook is kind of like a higher end Lamar Odom. And
I don't think you can say that about Carmelo. Carmelo has basically nothing left in the tank. Like, he's not going to start, and there's going to be a lot of games that Carmelo is DNP. Because if there's one thing we know about Frank Vogel, defense matters, and Melo has none.
Yeah.
So that's not to say Melo won't get an opportunity, because guys like Ben McLemore got opportunities with Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to play much. I think he's a depth guy, which I have no issue with Carmelo. Carmelo is totally fine to me.
Yeah.
Where I have an issue is trading Marc Gasol, for basically trading him away to clear a cap room and a roster spot for DeAndre Jordan, who the Nets wanted to banish because he couldn't contribute on that team. Like, the second they added Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan lost his job.
Yeah.
And the Dwight Howard thing bothers me for one simple reason.
How so?
He was admitting a mistake from 2020, and that bothers me, that he let Dwight Howard go for no reason, and now he's bringing him back on the same deal. It just makes me lose faith in, like, what is Rob Pelinka doing? I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think that he got lucky with LeBron James, because LeBron James wanted to live in L.A. LeBron James brought in Anthony Davis. Like, LeBron James is doing all the work. So I'm just – this team has a chance to win an NBA championship, and one of the reasons I'm not excited is because I don't believe in our front office. It blows my mind that Kurt Rambis has any say in the matter.
Yeah.
And then I long for the old Laker days. I really miss the days where we developed players and we tried to have sustained playoff runs. Of course, we're always looking to win a championship. Of course we are.
Yeah.
But the old Laker teams wanted to win a championship, but they also had to be in the playoffs every year. Like, there was none of this sell out for one chip and then bottom out, that's what we're heading for.
I know. Yeah, that is unfortunate. I do miss, even with, you know, you having, you know, Kobe and Shaq not having the greatest years and building into something. And that's, I think, because it's because of LeBron James ultimately. Is like, we have LeBron James, who's, you know, still one of the best players in the world, but you have to, like, it him being there like is contingent upon giving him all of the keys to the kingdom and letting him try to, you know, make, you know, break whatever record he wants and all that stuff. And it's like, you know what, that's the choice that we had to make. And the Lakers were in a real, like, if the Lakers did not bring on LeBron James, we would be in a much worse position right now. I really believe that. I think, yeah, we would probably have those younger players and they'd be decent, but we would still be a, you know, we would not be better than maybe a 6 or a 5 seed right now, tops. Chances that we would not have won a championship by now, there's absolutely no way, because no one trusted the Lakers front office at all.
You like, were in the middle of a very good point, and a new Apple feature got in the way of whatever you were saying. And I'm sorry. Oh, I try to embrace the new functionality of Apple software, and it said that I was out of time for the Anchor app, and it locked me out. So I have disabled that functionality.
Okay.
Let's go back to the point you were making.
Okay. What was the last thing you remember me saying? Because I talked for a little while.
Okay. I'm trying to remember. So we were talking about the front office taking a dump. They weren't very good. And you were like, yes, I agree. I want, you know, I wish it was like the old days where we were building towards something, but we have LeBron. Yeah. So that's where you were.
Yeah, so I was saying that, you know, we have LeBron James, and so, you know, he's been given the keys to the kingdom, and that was the trade-off, ultimately.
Yeah.
And I think getting LeBron James completely saved our future, because the way that the Lakers were, we had, you know, D'Angelo Russell, we had Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, which were all really, and they've turned into, you know, fine players.
Yeah.
But you still have that young core, and there's no way that we're better than a 5 seed at the most right now. And I mean, maybe we would have brought in, yeah, maybe we would have brought in another, like, you know, kind of good player or two, but because at that point in time, the Lakers' reputation of the front office was basically Jim Buss and then Jeannie Buss. She was just coming off of her emails getting leaked about making fun of Ballmer and all that other crap going on. Like, it was bad. No one wanted to play for the Lakers. The fact that we got LeBron James to come that year, like, was,
it's kind of a miracle.
True. It was a miracle. And the fact that he is here is the only reason why Anthony Davis came, is the only reason why we have anybody, any other superstar interested in playing for us. So I think that's why I tend not to get on the LeBron hate train quite as much. I don't love LeBron James. I don't love who he is as a person necessarily. I think he's done a lot of great things off the basketball court, but at the same time, I don't love we could get into this forever. Like, I don't love a lot of the way he handles a lot of politics and stuff like that, and he drives me nuts in certain ways, but I appreciate the fact that he did come to LA, and, you know, we are in the position where we can compete for a championship.
That's fair. I can appreciate that. You do have to respect him for kind of just reestablishing the team after the worst stretch in the history of the franchise. But
yeah,
I just find myself frequently, and this is crazy, this is going to sound crazy to you, but it's the truth, I find myself frequently envying Utah and Golden State, because both of those teams were homegrown, and I think both of those teams are going to have, well, the Warriors have already had basically a decade of great play with, I mean, yeah, they were a dynasty. The Warriors were a dynasty. So of course everyone envies that, but even the
Marissa, say, I want to know, the show cuts her off. They like basically,
you, what the heck is that?
And it goes to this like more Aaron montage of like what Aaron thinks, and I wanted to hear
Matt, recently, what is going on? Hello?
Undrafted Matt. Guy.
Matt, what was that?
What was what?
I just, the recording, it was like someone else was talking about something random, and it was almost like someone else's podcast like came on and I was listening to another person.
Yeah, that was my wife getting into the Tesla, so she wasn't listening to a podcast. Sorry.
Oh my gosh,
that doesn't affect. I don't think that. I don't. I don't think that affects the integrity of the recording, though, as I was taught. Who knows?
All right. I didn't hear what you were saying, so give me a little recap.
I was just saying I envy the Jazz because they did it the right way, in my opinion. They have some homegrown talent. They found some undrafted guys. They made some trades. They've done some stuff in free agency, and I just miss that. I miss having a rooting interest in the guys' development. Like, you remember the Summer League with Larry? I mean, we were getting together in the summer, watching Summer League, watching the Lakers win a championship with Caruso, which I don't even know if I want to go down the Caruso path because it'll get me so angry.
We shouldn't. It was a mistake. We're sad that he's gone, and let's not,
Well, let's just quickly touch on this. What did you make of Rob Pelinka's comments about Caruso?
You know what? It made me mad, but I also
thank you.
I also want to know like what went into that, because he said we made an aggressive attempt to keep him, and it's like
I think he's lying.
I think so too. Or what is his idea of an aggressive attempt? Because
I would.
Did he say we made an aggressive attempt but stayed within the confines of how much we were willing to pay him? Or like what? I don't even see that there was an attempt, because the way that Caruso described it was that they just kind of let him go.
Totally.
So I wish I knew more details on what may have happened there, because it sure seems like they did not make an attempt at all to keep him around.
I think they did make an attempt. I bet you on, well, let's be real. Day one doesn't exist because they talk about this stuff.
I know. It's a joke.
Everyone breaks the rules. So like day one of free agency is really like, I don't know, the second the NBA finals ends. But here's what I think happened. And I would love to know what actually happened. And I think one day we will. I think one day, let's see what happens with Caruso's career. But if he goes on, you know, like, I think one day the story will get out. I think what happened was the Lakers said, hey, we love you. You're the man. We'll pay you 3 years, 15. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he says, okay, I think I'm worth more than that. Let me see what I can get. And then I think he went out and got a great offer. And then I think he took it to the Lakers and they said, hey, thanks for all you've done. We'll see you later.
And that's like, probably what happened. And for and him.
And then for Rob to say we made an aggressive attempt, that's bull crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't buy that either. It's from Caruso's standpoint, like it's hard for me to say this because I'm a Laker fan, and it's like you're so beloved by Laker fans and stuff, like as Caruso, like he's one of the most liked players, if not the most liked player on the team. Like
I love Caruso.
Yeah, I freaking love the guy so much. And I think from his perspective too, it's like, you know what? I want a championship. Like there's a lot of players that never even get that opportunity. Now I'm going to go get paid. I'm going to go get
for
the bag.
Sure.
And the Lakers are not offering me the bag. And I just had the last couple, like this might be my prime. Like this might be as
it
good
is
as
his
it gets.
Prime.
And so I need to go get paid. I got to think about my future. Like I won a championship. I played years with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Like, I got to go get paid. I got to take care of myself and my family. So I probably would have done the same.
There's just so much that doesn't add up, which is why I come back to my letter grade of an F, because what he got from Chicago is not crazy. Like 4 years, $36 million is a bargain for a guy that you think can close a game defensively, which is what I think the Lakers thought they had.
Yeah.
And then they go out and pay freaking Talen Horton Tucker.
That's
the same
what made
deal.
Me
Yes, yeah. They pay him the same deal in terms of per year, you know, per year average.
Yeah.
And now they're like, yeah, we need him to play defense. It's like, if we just only had a guy who we actually knows plays defense and we can rely on rather than hoping he develops. If we only had a player like that, wouldn't that be nice? Oh, we did.
Yeah.
And we let him go for no freaking – it's just stupid. Yeah. Like, I don't believe in Rob Pelinka at all. I can't stand the way that the Lakers front office is structured. It's not worse than what we had with Jim Buss, but it's not better. Like, they're just – they're bad in different ways, and it just diminishes what we should be talking about. We should be enjoying the fact that we have a loaded roster, because you had guys like Kent Bazemore, Malik Monk was a stroke of genius. Like, those are – exactly the type of guys you should be going after, guys who didn't work out their first time around. Let's see if we can help them rebuild their career, and they can help us in the process. Like, we added a few of those guys.
Yeah. A lot of those guys shoot 40% or better from 3-2, and that's somewhere where we got murdered last season. We got killed.
Do we have Wayne Ellington again?
We have Wayne Ellington. We have Trevor Ariza, who I think last year he only shot 35%, but as a career
shooter, Trevor Ariza's done. Him and Carmelo were done. They're not going to play much.
No, they'll come in and knock down the occasional shot, but they're, you know, I don't mind having them with their experience.
The other guys we just talked about are going to be a part of the rotation, and these other guys you're mentioning are in case of emergency, because like Malik Monk's going to play, Kendrick Nunn's going to play. You know, Trevor Ariza, maybe. Carmelo Anthony, maybe.
Yeah, Rondo will play. I think he's not going to play as much. Westbrook will play. But it's nice knowing that if we do have any injuries, we have a pretty deep team. Like, yes. It's definitely old, but, like, we have a lot of depth at pretty much every position, which is really nice. I think... You know, we're kind of bouncing all over the place, but I would rather have Marc Gasol than DeAndre Jordan for sure. However, because here's why, because Marc Gasol, he can get you some points and he is an excellent passer and he's a great team defender. He is a horrible one-on-one defender, but he's a good team defender. And DeAndre Jordan, I think, still has some athletic ability and can still defend the rim to some degree. And he can get up and he can catch lobs and stuff. So he, you know, he definitely adds some value. He's not going to play a whole lot. That's going to mainly go to Dwight Howard. Howard has already proven himself capable playing alongside AD and with LeBron and stuff. So I think Howard will still play pretty well. We'll just have to see, man. Like, I don't know. DeAndre Jordan, I think, will definitely get some minutes, probably not a lot, but the depth is the point that I'm trying to get across, is we have a lot of options in case we get into foul trouble or in case, you know, people are hurt or tired or whatever it is.
What do you think will end up being the best offseason acquisition by the trade deadline? Like, which guy do you think we've brought in will just kill it? Because I think we can both agree it's not going to be Westbrook, right?
No. I mean, Westbrook is going to do Westbrook things, which he'll contribute and he'll make a difference, but he's not going to, like, I don't think he's going to surprise. He's not going to wow me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If we're talking about, like, wow factor, like, who's going to really contribute, I think I'm going to go with Wayne Ellington.
Whoa, that surprises me.
I think Wayne Ellington is he's going to be more that played well in the bubble.
Dang.
That's my thought. I wouldn't be surprised though if it ends up being like Malik Monk or, you know, Kendrick Nunn could play well. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised by any of those other new guys, but I'm gonna go with Wayne Ellington.
I'm gonna go with Kent Bazemore. I just think that
Bazemore is good. That wouldn't surprise me either, because he can get his own shot.
Yes, I think
he is a good shooter.
And I think that he, like a lot of these guys, wants to be here. Mm-hmm. But I think that I really think that he could become like a Kyle Kuzma light. Like, there could be some games where he drops 20 points. He's in the rotation, coming off the bench at that small forward position. I think bringing back Kent Bazemore was awesome. I love that move. There's a lot of moves I like. If we had just done a few other things differently, I'd feel much better about this team.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. It's so drastically different. I mean, yes, you still have, you know, the big two or whatever with, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis, but, like, there's such a massive there's just a big question mark on this team. And I think if players are able to, you know, and this is a big if. Again, if they're able to put some ego aside and figure out, okay, this is what I need to contribute to this team in order for us to win. If everyone can get on that same page, or at least most of the players, I think that this team, and health obviously is a huge factor too, but if those things all, if the stars align, this team could really shock the NBA. Like, I don't know if they, I don't know if Golden State is really, really healthy with Klay Thompson and stuff. I don't know how well LA will fare against them, but I feel like they can compete with pretty much anybody if they are firing in all cylinders.
I mean, it's hard to say that they're going to surprise people, because I think a lot of people in the league think that the Lakers will win the West. But maybe they can shock people and just gelling better. I don't think Golden State is going to be healthy enough. Sounds like Klay's not going to come back till end of January.
Okay.
Clippers won't be healthy enough. Like, there's definitely a path where the Lakers can get to the finals. Now, I guess the real question is, can they take down the Nets?
I don't know. That's a big old fat what if. Is what, like, I don't know. It would be a heck of a fun series to watch, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
I think, honest, whether you're a Laker fan or not, don't you think that the storylines between the Nets and the Lakers would make for a fun NBA Finals?
Oh, for sure. Like, we're talking, okay, well, when I would say it's going to be the closest thing to, as far as, like, stardom, like, in the Finals and the storylines that can go along with it, like, we're talking Magic and Bird stuff. Not like, we're talking like Lakers Celtics stuff here. When you're thinking LeBron James versus Kyrie Irving, and, you know, you've got LeBron and Kevin Durant on different players. You got Russell Westbrook versus Kyrie Irving and stuff. And you've got, like, it's crazy to even, like, think of the names that would be playing against each other. LeBron, KD, and then you've got James Harden and Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony and Kyrie Irving, and, like, it's just nuts.
All,
like,
guys that played together at various points.
That just is crazy to me to even really think about. So that would be a lot of fun. I think that would be a really competitive, and it'd be kind of a chess match. That's what excites me about it, is I feel like you have to, if you have the finals with that caliber of talent, it's so much more than just a, you know, I'm a better player than you. Like, you have to, I mean, coaching plays a huge role in that. I think strategy and, you know, the ability to make adjustments will go so much further in a series like that than really any other matchup I can think of.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do hope that happens, because if that were to happen, then it means that Russell Westbrook behaved himself, was a good team player, all that stuff.
Right.
Go ahead.
I want Anthony Davis to be healthy. I know. I hope that he was I just don't know. Some people's bodies just are not meant to take that as much abuse as, you know, a professional athlete goes through. And up to this point, the proof is that Anthony Davis's body cannot handle a full season. Yep. And that worries me. And I think because he has had, I'm worried about that because he's had some Achilles problems. If you have Achilles like tendonitis or Achilles, I'm trying to remember the name for it, but if you have Achilles problems, you're way more prone to tear your Achilles. And that is.
Did you have Achilles problems?
I did have some soreness on that Achilles for sure over time, but I didn't think like anything of it. It was just kind of like, oh, I'm getting older, you know, like it's just, you know, my body's kind of like achy and sore everywhere, but I did notice that there was some soreness on that Achilles too. And it felt kind of like tight and weird and stuff, but I don't think anyone anticipates tearing their Achilles. And, you know, when it happened, it was just like, what the heck? But, you know, kind of looking back at it, it was like, okay, well, probably should have, you know, rested that more, or I don't know. It doesn't matter at this point, but it is concerning to me. I want him to have a healthy season. I want him to really show what he's truly capable of, because the dude is a freak of nature. Like, he is out of this world good if he's healthy.
Well, I think the Lakers coaching staff and training staff, they just have to do a better job managing the load. Like,
yeah,
I really do respect that LeBron wants to play all 82 games. And if that's going to be the case, they need to pick and choose some games where, hey, you're only playing 15 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
And I think the same goes for AD. Like, they just pick and – you got to pick and choose those moments, you know? And it's like, mm-hmm. hey, when the Timberwolves come to town, it's a light load. And if the other guys can't do it, the other guys can't do it, you know? Yeah. So,
yeah,
that's just – that's just the nature of the NBA these days. And, like, I'm not for what Kawhi Leonard does, which is yeah. sit 20 games and fake an injury.
Yeah.
Like, they can still play most of the games, if not all of them. Just pick and choose what games you care to win and which ones. It's, hey, you're only playing – you're playing the first 6 minutes. You'll play 3 minutes in the second quarter. You'll yeah. play the first 4 minutes after the third quarter and then maybe the fourth quarter. Or, you know, it's just
– yeah.
You just got to balance that stuff out.
And I hope that – so I agree with you completely. The coaching staff needs to really take control of that. And I also hope that our bench can put them in a position where it's a lot easier to sit those players more. Like, we can't be in a position where you have to put LeBron James and Anthony Davis in for the entire fourth quarter for us to have a fighting chance like that.
Well, that's where that's where Westbrook comes into play.
Yeah.
And that's why I see why Rob did it. Because I think he says we get the third star. He's a ball handler. He can help share the load. And I like that idea in theory. It's just not Westbrook.
Yeah.
If that could have been – I'm trying to think who was even available, but I don't even know who you could have pried out of a trade, but –
I don't know. I think the Lakers were saying that they wanted to try and trade for Damian Lillard somehow, but the cards just did not didn't pan out. And so that is unfortunate. I'm still not, I hope that the door isn't closed for that at some point in the future. Maybe.
I don't know how you pull it off, but gosh, it would be a phenomenal fit.
Yeah, it would be crazy. I have no idea, but that's, you know, obviously not happening anytime soon, but I do appreciate. So with Russell Westbrook, I don't know if you saw what the Wizards GM said about him. I think it may have been today. Did you see that?
No.
So the Wizards GM was, I saw him, like, I saw the words come out of his mouth. So I know that this is true. And he was saying, you know, just to set the record straight about, you know, Westbrook and the Wizards, like, he didn't actually ask to leave. You know, he said, hey, you know, if I could find a way to play for the Lakers, like, I would love that. That would be awesome. But if not, like, I'm coming back and I'm going to play for you guys. And then the GM was wow. like, well, what if, like, would you want to play for the Clippers? And Westbrook said, hell no.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so that was him quoting it. Like, I heard him say that. And so I thought that was funny. But yeah, Westbrook wasn't like, I'm out of here. Like, I want to go to something else. I just want to go to LA, period. Like, and I can see why he wouldn't want to play for the Clippers. The dude probably hates Paul George's guts and Kawhi Leonard because of how they left him hanging high and dry. So I think it's interesting.
I do appreciate that sentiment. It's nice to hear someone vocalize that, because I'll always hate the Clippers. That's the bottom line.
For sure. And so, I'm pretty, do you remember the story of where I think Paul George was, like, supposed to, like, do something, and then he just, like,
I'll tell you the story because you've already watched it.
Remind
what me. Happens is what happens is Russell Westbrook and Kawhi Leonard had a conversation about playing together, and Kawhi was kind of cold about it. And then Kawhi called up Paul George and was like, hey, Russ is exploring options, basically, and he's like, do you want to come play with me? So
that's what it was.
Russ kind of initiated the conversation with Kawhi, and Kawhi's like, oh, that's interesting, hangs up, and then calls Paul George.
That is bush league. And so, yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember this now. Yeah, you're right. I botched it from the beginning. So,
yeah. I don't want you to – I don't want you to
– Yeah.
Westbrook's name has already been slandered enough on this podcast.
We I know. Don't need it's, to do it it's true. I mean, it was slandered with still trying to give the benefit of the doubt. It's not – I think both of us can agree that it's not an absolute certainty that it's going to be a complete failure. Like, it's – we will see with time, but I don't think it's going to take – a very long time to really discover if it's going to work or not. I think there's going to be a learning curve, and they're going to have some friction moments because of just all of the star power that's there. But I think that by Christmas, they'll have it figured out.
That would be nice. That would be nice. I'm not quite sold on that, but I will say this. I don't see a scenario in which they're good and not great. I think it either works or it goes up in flames. Oh, yeah.
There's not really any in between. I don't think there's no way that it's going to be just mediocre where they're just going to be like, eh, you know, they'll be a little bit above 500 and it's kind of whatever. Like, no, it's either going to be completely dysfunctional. We're going to see a bunch of lineup changes, or they're going to get it figured out, and this team is going to win a lot of games.
Well, I think this has been a good enough preview. Here's what we need to do. We got to get on a look. Life's crazy. Your career's taken off, which is exciting.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of stuff with KSL and BYU related stuff.
Yeah.
So look, I apologize for the year off on the podcast here.
It's all good. I mean, we both had other stuff going on. Yeah, but
we need to check in every 10 games.
Yeah, I agree.
That's only 8 pods during the regular season, just to get a feel for how the Lakers are doing and what the league's looking like. But
do you have any plans for the opening day?
When is the opening game again?
I can't remember. We both.
I have it here. I have it in my phone.
It's like late October, right?
No, the NBA season's moved up. It's mid-October, okay. And the day is, let's see here. It is October 19th, Lakers and Warriors. Yeah, we should watch that because I'll probably be rooting for the Warriors. But
you had better not. You'd better not.
Steph Curry, baby, my friend.
Know. Look, it is okay to like Steph Curry. Is it okay? It is totally fine. The dude is incredible. I like Steph Curry a lot, but you had better not. I will leave. I will get up and I will kindly leave. There's no freaking way I'm going to sit in a room with you and watch you root against the Lakers.
That does sound wrong.
It is. That's because it is.
Oh, my. I can't guarantee anything. The Lakers will have to play well to pull me back into the fold. But if they just look like a mess from the get-go, I could be celebrating those deep threes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. I hope I don't have to experience that.
All right. Well, it was good to chat some NBA. I talk so much college sports these days. Feels good to have an outlet to talk some professional hoops. So thanks for indulging me. We'll be in touch. And, I mean, hey, there'll be no shortage of things to talk about this year, good or bad.
Definitely not.
All right, man. Have a good one. Thanks for jumping on.
You too. Yeah, of course. See ya.
Well, there you go. Good stuff about the Lakers with my good friend Kyle Bruderer. We'll continue to talk NBA all season long. So if you haven't subscribed already, I would appreciate that as I get this up and running again. Thank you for listening. Hey, you know, fall, this is the best time of year. We got college football. We got NFL, NBA starting up. Baseball's winding down. It's a good time to talk sports, and I'm going to do so a lot more. So, again, thank you. Take care, and we'll see you next time.